"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com. John and Ken Show. John Cobell, Ken Shampo, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Yeah, well, speaking of the iHeartRadio app, you can use that to leave a message for the Moist Line. There's a talkback feature, which is indicated by a little microphone. We understand there's lots of room on the Moist Line this week, and it's coming up in just a couple of days. You can also call the toll-free line at 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886.
Well, Frank James, the shooting suspect in the Brooklyn subway just craziness that went on. I mean, 29 people ended up getting injured. 10 people got shot. He just was mumbling to himself on a seat and suddenly stood up and started firing. He was caught today. And we're going to talk with Brad Garrett, ABC News crime and terrorism analyst, to explain what's been happening. Brad, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
What do you know of how he was finally caught?
So, you know, it didn't take NYPD and the FBI very long to actually ID him because he basically left a trail of evidence. He dropped a credit card at the scene with his name on it. That what they were able to trace the purchase of a firearm, a Glock handgun, a 9mm handgun, back to 2011 that he purchased in Ohio. He also dropped that at the scene. The credit card led to a U-Haul that he had rented that they found, a short distance away from the subway. And so I guess I'm making a long story short in that they were able to ID him as the potential shooter. Really, I think yesterday. But what happened is they didn't have all of these blocks put together, and there are some more than what I've already said. But the social media and getting his picture out to the New Yorkers that caught him. So around 1:45-ish today, he was in a McDonald's and in the Lower East Side. And people spotted him, say, hey, that's the guy in the picture. And so they started taking photographs of him in the McDonald's. NYPD monitored social media. They said, oh, my God, that's our guy. They sent patrol out. He had just left, but a short distance from the McDonald's, they arrested him, and it sounds like he didn't bite them.
There's also a report that he called in a tip himself to Crime Stoppers.
Well, that's entirely possible. I mean, you're talking about somebody that's got one of two things in my mind. You know, obviously there's some mental illness, there's some belief that he might even have some sort of dementia. So my guess is, based on his rants on social media, that it may well be potentially a combination of both.
Now, he's apparently got a long criminal record, but Brad, were you able to learn anything about this 2019 story that he ended up, the FBI entered into the Guardian lead system in New Mexico? Do you know what that is?
No, I don't know. I have heard of that. But, you know, when you look at his history, I mean, some of it has a bit of a leaning towards acting out violently, but nothing with firearms, nothing like threatening somebody with killing them in the past. So he doesn't have a history that basically lends itself that he should have been on anybody's radar screen to commit a mass shooting. Now, if you look at his social media posts where he just rants and raves to Mayor Eric Adams, who's a former NYPD captain, now the mayor of New York City, you know, ranting and raving about all the homeless people that live on the subway, but really going after the mayor for not making the subway safer, which is ironic since he had just, and then he went and did what he did, of course. But in his mind, he was probably making a statement like, hey, mayor, look, it isn't safe. I'm just an average guy with a gun that goes in and shoots up a subway car and then is able to get away. So you can't apply logic to people like this, obviously, but mass shooters by and large feel they're not empowered on any level. They typically have really disappointing lives. They get angrier and angrier if you add mental illness or other physical issues to it that exacerbates it. And they finally get to a point where I got to get somebody to pay attention to me. And they decide to end up doing, you know, a mass shooting because it's really about power. It's about taking control. I mean, ultimately, when you hold people's life in your hands, that's pretty big time power, obviously. And I think that's why he did it, you know, and probably had little or no guilt about doing it. Maybe perhaps until he got caught.
How does are there going to be terrorism charges related to this? I mean, how are they going to handle this, do you think?
So there is, I mean, the FBI, they're prosecuting him at least initially federally, which means that the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Eastern District of New York and the FBI will be the leads, obviously with a lot of help from NYPD. But if there is a federal statute about committing violent acts on public transportation, it's specifically written for what happened yesterday. And so he faces some charges that could get him life in prison. And my guess is, based on the evidence, that's a likely sentence at some point he might get, assuming he's competent to stand trial.
Yeah, that would probably be the claim. There probably will be some mental health issues brought up by his defense.
Exactly.
But this is not the sort of thing that anybody can see coming in this individual.
Well, you know, I mean, that's the problem. Did he make in those social media rants, which nobody really would have probably known about? I don't know who he sent them to. I don't know how NYPD and the FBI found them. But, you know, the point being, he makes a comment at some point that he just feels like going out and shooting people, which obviously he ended up doing. But, you know, people rant and rave and say all sorts of awful, violent things via social media. But, I mean, that statement in itself, you couldn't charge him. He's not threatening any particular person or a particular location. There are a lot of people that are versions of Mr. James that say awful things, that talk about doing awful things, but never act on them. And that's the vast majority of the time. So that's the tricky thing. I mean, getting in front of mass shooters is one of the more difficult things that the law enforcement has to do day in and day out. And many times they miss them because they just don't know in advance.
Yeah, because some of these social media posts did talk about shooting up things.
No, I mean, he goes after the mayor and uses them obscenities, and apparently there's some some traffic they didn't release, that he gets into, you know, some pretty racially nasty stuff. But, you know, the point being, there is nothing in there. I mean, one quick example, if you look at Nicholas Cruz at Parkland in Florida, he said in social media that he was going to go shoot up a school. I mean, that's why, you know, the family members have sued the federal government, the FBI, because they had gotten information that he was going to do that. And it just didn't get passed along to whom it should have been passed along to. So I use that as an example. I mean, that was just a huge red light. You don't have that with Mr. James, and in many times don't have that direct type of threat before a mass shooting.
Is there a lack of police deterrence on the New York City subway system, and the cameras didn't work? I don't know how prevalent that is. I mean, have they left the subway system wide open to an attack like this?
Well, first of all, the cameras that apparently didn't work were the ones that were really focused on the turnstiles, because you get all sorts of people jumping the turnstiles. So those weren't working. So if that's accurate, what I'm saying, then you wouldn't have captured what he did on those cameras. Obviously, he got captured on some other cameras. They got him going in the subway system, out of the subway system. But to your point about safety and public transportation, in particular subway systems, I mean, how safe can you make them? 3 million people a day ride the New York City subway system. 3 million. You can't search and clear 3 million people like TSA clears us to get aboard an airplane. You can't do it. And so, I mean, you can put a cop in every station. You can't, in a city the size of New York, you can't put a cop in every car. But I don't know how you defense against these things in reality without advanced information. It's like, you know, some school shooters have been stopped because law enforcement got some advanced information, did their homework, and stopped kids from committing mass shootings. And, you know, could you otherwise? Probably not. You know, that's the real dilemma. And, you know, you just take a calculated risk if, in fact, you use certain forms of public transportation. It shouldn't deter people, because statistically it's still a really low number. But, you know, let's face it. If you had to face in New York City subway system every day after what just happened, you might think twice, perhaps, or at least some people would.
All right. Thank you very much, Brad, for your time. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care.
All right. Brad Garrett, ABC News terrorism analyst. We got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken Show, John Cobalt and Ken Shampoo, KFI AM 640. Live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
All right. Well, we've been talking about the arrest of the New York City subway shooter suspect, Frank R. James, who does have a criminal record that dates back to the 1990s. This is a 62-year-old man, by the way, and that's a little bit out of the profile. Black and 62 to be a mass shooter, that often doesn't match. But he is described by family members as quite the loner. He posted a whole lot of videos to YouTube and Facebook where he rants about everything going on in the world, and some of it is clearly racist. So you're right, John. Hate crimes should be
hate
added
crimes.
To this.
That's right.
He hated picks on blacks, Mexicans, Jews, whites.
He hated
he picks
all
on blacks too.
He hated all the other tribes, including his own.
He had rented a room at a Philadelphia Airbnb for 15 days, starting on March 28th. Still booked there when he took the U-Haul on April 6th from a nearby outlet and headed to New York with, I guess, his plan to get on the subway and shoot people. He had a Glock. He had a high-capacity rifle magazine, a blue smoke canister. One neighbor in Philadelphia said he wasn't there long. I don't remember his face. He would just go in and out. He wasn't one of those guys who stays outside. He might stay for an hour or two and leave, and then he came back at night. And then, of course, as we've been talking about, these bizarre YouTube rants that he posted, including against the current mayor of New York City, Eric Adams.
That's what's just so stupid about social media, is every mental patient now has his own channel to broadcast. And maybe he thought...
But that should help us.
Well, it should. We
should have a department of looking at deranged people's social media postings and
just arrest them and
constantly harassing them. Exactly.
Put them in a mental institution. Yeah, that's right.
I mean, always say, well, you can't prosecute somebody for thought crimes.
Well, maybe we should. And besides,
we have to rethink thought crimes.
No, I mean, there's terroristic threats. You can go to jail for making threats against people.
Not for long, usually, though.
Well, maybe it should be for long. Yeah. I'm saying is that we got to make some new laws here. We got a new era. We have a way actually to definitively identify who's likely to cause trouble. Just go online and see. And if you know it when you see it, you see somebody, it's like, obviously that guy's crazy. Boy, that's a lot of threats. That's a lot of violence he's talking about. That's a lot of anger. If anybody's going to blow, he's going to be the one to blow. Right? I don't think it's all that difficult. You know it when you see it. It's like pornography, trying to come up with a definition. You know it. And if you watch this guy in video and just look at his transcript, it's like, yeah, he should have been put in a net, taken away. What would it have hurt? What would we have lost here? This guy was contributing absolutely nothing to his life and to society. And, yeah, Brad Garrett from NBC News was talking about, you know, the background of some of these guys. And, yeah, it's a lifetime of being a failure, a lifetime of disappointments. And people get angry and bitter as they grow older. Sane people do. So imagine an insane person is angry and bitter at all the things he didn't do in life, that he didn't accomplish, or all the bad breaks or trauma and abuse he had as a child. You know,
it's funny you said that, because one of his posts was, "My family, the enemy." He blames his father for 40% of what's wrong with him. But I'll take 60% of the blame because it's my life. It's my life, and I didn't realize what I was up against. To live and not be bleeped up by other mother bleepers, which is to take the position that if you bleep with me, I'll bleep with you or I'll kill you. There you go.
Well, a typical rant.
It comes from
parental abuse or neglect. That's true for a lot of people. Sexual abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse, whatever. Okay. But, you know, there's also a lot of people who suffer that and go on and live normally, and they live well, and they overcome it. So the point is, it's kind of fun to have a academic discussion on the root causes of why people do this stuff. In the end, who gives a crap? He did it. Just judge him by his actions, not the motivations, not his background. Look what he did. Shot a lot of people up. Let's put him in jail forever. Now we will. But let's also, when somebody says, "I'm going to do this, I want to do this," what's wrong with taking him seriously? What's wrong with writing laws that take him seriously? And making that kind of repeated violent threats, hey, you know what, you got to get locked up. You got to be put in a mental institution. You got to take medication.
All right, when we come back, we'll give you an update on the story we talked about last week involving the global network of Black Lives Matter and this $6 million home that they bought in Studio City. And they have been accused by the attorney generals of a number of states of not filing what they call the informational forms. They have to file. If you're a nonprofit, you do have to complete by IRS regulations all sorts of informational forms. Well, the co-founder, she's no longer involved with the organization, this Patrice Cullors, who bought all this real estate, recently went on a show. You're not going to believe this, but we will play you some of the audio complaining about the fact that there is reporting, or what they call transparency laws, for nonprofits, and that they're triggering.
Is that the new word? That's the word of the day, huh?
Yeah.
They're triggering. Boy, everybody has learned the doctrine very well. So you're triggered. So you were triggered what? To steal money?
Doesn't like it. She just doesn't think they should be subject to these kinds of things. Requirements.
They should just take the money from the suckers and buy their mansions. Why do I have to report? You know what? One thing is, I don't care that they stole this money, because the suckers who gave Black Lives Matter the money, they got fleeced. They got looted good. You were that naive?
Yeah.
John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken Show. John Cobalt and Ken Champeau, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, KFI has got this gas card giveaway. That's right. We know prices are high. We feel your pain. You have a chance to win a $100 gas card all day on KFI. 9 a.m. with Bill Handel, 11 a.m. with Gary and Shannon. 5 o'clock hour with us, and 7 o'clock with Tim Conway Jr. So stay with us for the big 5 o'clock hour and your chance at a $100 gas card. The Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation made the news last week because they spent $6 million of the charity's money on this big mansion. Turns out it's in Studio City. This was a report by New York Magazine. They also got in trouble from several states because they were not submitting the required information that you have to submit if you're a nonprofit, which means you're not subject to taxation, but you still have reporting requirements. The charity raised $60 million in 2020, and a few states were like, hey, you're late with your reports on how you're spending the money. Get them in here, and until you do, we're going to stop your fundraising. This all has to do with our tax system and, of course, the requirements that are put upon charities that want to consider themselves nonprofits. Well, this brings us to Patrice Cullors, who is the co-founder of the Black Lives Matter Global Organization.
Oh, a Marxist, by the way.
She has since left the organization, but not before she and others engaged in this real estate spending spree, which included the $6 million Studio City mansion. They bought a number of properties, which raised a lot of questions. Yeah, and then they weren't submitting the proper forms, which is called the 990. So a lot of suspicions were raised.
They got another one in Topanga, too. They got another mansion there.
Yeah. So what we have for you now is, I don't know, by some form of explanation by Patrice Cullors. She was speaking at an event called the Vachon Center for the Arts. We'll begin with the first clip. And again, one of the forms you have to submit is an IRS form called the 990. Hear this.
First of all, number one, I actually did not know what 990s were before all of this happened.
It's confusing.
So part of the opportunity here is to educate our folks. Like, something's being weaponized against us that many people don't even know and honestly don't care about.
Wait, stop.
That one's hard to believe.
Stop a second.
Another term I hate is weaponized.
Yeah, it is weaponized because you took tens of millions of dollars from people and you're buying self-indulgent mansions. And there, I have not seen a single report that they have spent any money on anything positive for people in the Black community. In fact, local leaders have complained that this national organization hasn't given them any money to do any good for anybody.
Well, what I heard was even worse. What I heard her say there is that, reporting requirements like 990s, that's racist. They're just trying to get us. They're weaponizing the reporting requirements to come after us.
Yeah,
that's what I heard, which I think is really outrageous. Everybody's subject to this that has a charity. And it isn't anything racial.
Every legitimate charity, and a lot of them aren't, but the few that are, the first thing you do is you hire a tax expert to make sure that you follow all the tax rules. That's the first thing you do. Obviously, there are people who don't know what a 990 is, and you know they put together this organization on the fly to take advantage of the racial.
Yeah, do people not know you have to report certain things to the government? If you're an organization that's claiming to be a charity,
when you don't know,
I don't care if you don't know the actual form, but you should know this reporting requirements.
What you should know to hire somebody. Yeah, if you think you're capable of running a charity organization or whatever the hell this thing is, then you're capable of saying, okay, there's got to be legal consequences. There's got to be tax consequences. The whole point of a nonprofit is you don't have to pay taxes because allegedly you're not profiting, right? You're spending all the money on your good work. You're not keeping any of it for any length of time. It's in the definition of your category. Nonprofit means no taxes. But you can't just say that. You have to prove it. And you prove it by filling out the forms and then being able to back up every statement you put in the forms. And that's basic. And she's trying to act like it was some kind of trick. There was some kind of trap set for her.
Yeah, reporting requirements or weaponization. Let's finish this clip.
I didn't know about them until they started asking us for them for COVID relief funds. I said, you need my 990. I had to call the accountant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the accountant handled that. Like, I don't know what that is. It is such a trip now to hear the word, the term 990s. I'm like, ugh, it's like triggering.
April 15th is next week.
Yo.
It's wow. Triggering.
Wow.
Don't bother me with all your tax requirements and regulations. Wait. I'm out here doing good deeds for the public.
I thought I'm just supposed to take money from suckers and spend it on mansions for myself. What? I have to fill out a form?
It's none of your business what we do with the money.
Hey, look, I got all these people to fall for it.
Just trust us. It's going to good deeds.
I know what I'm doing, right? They sent the money.
All this real estate you're buying? You know what she said, apparently? Well, we have another clip we can play, but she apparently said that that big mansion in Studio City was important, as it turned out, because she found it to be a safe place to go when there were threats made against her organization.
Oh, that's a lot of horse crap. Everybody now tries to cover their bad deeds, but with some kind of excuse that they were in danger, that they were somehow traumatized, you know, that they were victims in some way. They're buying mansions because they had $90 million they raised, and they wanted to spend it on themselves, and they wanted to run. And plus, those real estate deals were questionable. They were running it through an LLC, somebody's boyfriend.
It was all family members. Yeah, there was connection to.
All right, play cut number four, because now Patrice Cullors doesn't think this nonprofit structure is safe.
There has been so much clarity for me, a questioning for me. I don't know if I have clarity or answers yet, but I'm like, wow, this doesn't seem safe for us, this 990 structure, this nonprofit system structure. This is like deeply unsafe. Like, this is being literally weaponized. What? Against us, against the people we work with. I can't tell you how many people are like, am I next? Like, are they going to do this to me? So there's not a lot of, that's like, when you know this, you run an organization, like, people's morale in an organization is so important.
Yes.
But if their organization and the people in it are being attacked and scrutinized at everything they do, that leads to
something.
To deep,
we all have to file taxes.
Leads to deep, like, resistance and trauma.
This is amazing.
And so I think that other piece for me around, you
stop
know,
digging
what
this
I think
hole.
It's is important for people to understand is, and it's connected to this question, but there is a misinformation and disinformation.
Mm. Oh, it's not a good words to use.
Effort to not just challenge Black Lives Matter and the organization, but it's an experiment. If they win, then it's the next Black-led organization.
Yes, it is.
You see,
and then it's the
this.
Next Black-led organization.
No.
And it's the next
things
Black
like nonprofit requirements.
And
no,
so
reporting
it's so
requirements.
You raised $90 million. Where'd it go? That's
and right. We don't allow for
any
they,
organization
and they have
that
this
does
so,
that has to.
They know what they're doing, like how to create the infighting, how to create the distrust. We have to stop it. We have to stop it before they do it. We have to shut it down. We have to be showing up against it. And so that has been really important to me,
too. Against tax laws? Like,
taking the time to kind of stand back and watch it happening and being like, oh, this is how this works. Like, we are literally the experiment right now.
People gave her $90 million? Seriously?
Yeah. This is the kind of lying logic that we hear back.
Did we miss the boat? We should have started a nonprofit.
That IRS non-charity reporting requirements are racist.
They.
All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken Show, John Cobell and Ken Champeau, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Well, what do you know? Deborah Mark was at last night's playoff game between the Los Angeles Clippers and the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Wait, hold on. We got to get her in the studio here.
What do you mean in the studio?
Well, she's not at her...
it's not that important. I mean, she can catch up. She wasn't really there. It's just a joke.
Sit down. Put your headphones on.
All right, just relax.
What'd I miss?
I just announced that you were at last night's game between the Clippers and the Timberwolves in Minnesota. We don't know how you got there, but you were there.
I was?
Yeah, apparently you glued your wrist to the court to protest the death of chickens. Alicia Santorio is a member of an animal activist group called Direct Action Everywhere. She was wearing a shirt with a message about the team owner of the Timberwolves. His name is Glenn Taylor, and it said Glenn Taylor roasts animals alive.
Mm-hmm. That was you.
I'm not saying anything.
I guess this is the new thing where you can, there's some sort of skin glue that you can use to glue yourself to a surface. Some guy did this, I think, in Sacramento at a hearing the other day.
And it doesn't rip your flesh off?
I doubt it, because I don't think it's made that way.
I mean, is there a layer of her skin left on the court?
She wrote on Twitter, I super glued down to the basketball court to bring attention to the mass killing of chickens at Glenn Taylor's factory farm, using a technique called ventilation shutdown. Now, if you haven't been following this story, there have been some outbreaks of severe bird flu. And apparently, at the farm owned by Taylor, called Rembrandt Enterprises, you better hang on, Deborah Mark, they killed 5.3 million birds last month.
Oh, my God.
They caught the flu?
How do they know all of those birds caught the flu?
That's the thing. They don't know, so they just kill them all.
Jeez.
And try to start over.
They should have all been tested.
Now, the American Veterinary Medical Association prefers a method using a water-based foam to spray over the birds in a barn. Mm. The birds suffocate as the foam is applied.
God, that's...
who recommends that?
That's so barbaric.
The American Veterinary Medical Association.
You suffocate them with foam?
Yes, apparently it's the most humane.
And Taylor roasted the chickens instead?
Well, if the foam method isn't available, the U.S. Department of Agriculture recommends seal the barn doors and inject carbon dioxide into the building to make them unconscious until they suffocate.
Suffocate that way. And die. Sure.
But if the methods are impossible because of the size of the flock or a lack of equipment, here comes ventilation shutdown.
Option number three.
Now, Deborah's friends at Direct Action Everywhere describe ventilation shutdown as a mass killing method whereby ventilation openings in the industrial sheds full of birds are closed. Some combination of heat, steam, and or carbon dioxide gas is introduced, eventually killing the animals via suffocation.
Oh, so they get cooked and suffocated.
That is...
That's why she says roasts birds alive.
Disgusting.
I didn't know there were so many ways to mass kill chickens.
Well,
I'm sure there are more.
Yep.
This is just the tipping point.
Wow. Well, what are you going
to
do? They
were able to remove her from the floor actually pretty quickly. I don't think she was successful in getting the glue to stick.
Was she in favor of the carbon dioxide method?
No method. She doesn't want them.
Well,
she probably, like Deborah Mark, wants them all tested, and the ones
absolutely.
That don't have the bird flu can be...
I don't belong in this world. I can't stand the way animals are treated. I'm serious. I just
You triggered her.
I really.
Yeah, I know.
I think about this all the time, how animals
really?
Are treated, and then I feel so guilty because I don't do anything about it, and I don't know what to do about it when I hear a story like this.
You could glue yourself to the floor.
Oh, yeah. What's that going to do? It's not going to do a thing.
Glue girl is what they're calling this woman.
Glues herself to the floor. And does she think she's accomplished something?
Well, the story's everywhere, so people are getting more informed about it.
So?
Maybe someone listening right now will take Deborah Mark's words to action and come up with a better method to deal with the bird flu.
I don't think there has to be
some kind of testing. Just to kill all these birds in such a barbaric way.
You can't do 5 million tests.
Well, you can. It'll take a long time.
They're tiny birds.
Yeah. What else are they doing all day long?
Okay.
When we return, we'll be speaking with...
If I see you stuck to the floor out in the hall...
You'll know why.
I'll know there's a protest going on.
John Kupal is stopping by for a visit. This story out of Long Beach is worth a few minutes. There's a vacant lot fee that Long Beach implemented in 2017. Seriously. If you own a vacant lot, you better do something with it or you face a fine.
I don't understand this at all. You can't own an empty plot of land? You can't even own a piece of earth anymore without getting fined?
They had hoped that you would put up a garden or something. Right.
Well, it's not your business. It's not yours.
I think the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association agrees. That's why they've taken this case for
good. We're going to have John Kupal on here.
He'll explain how absurd this is coming up.
I want to glue myself to the floor over that. I'm going to glue myself to the floor. Boy, she's got to be a lot of fun at home. John and Ken show, Deborah Mark.
That could be fun. You never know.
Well, it could be, sure. Deborah Mark has the news, Camp 5 AM 640. Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
This week at Safeway, enjoy big savings with the BOGO sale, where select items throughout the store are buy one, get one free. With this week's BOGO sale, get select meats like Signature Farms 90% lean ground beef or boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free. Plus, select fresh produce items like 1 pound containers of sweet strawberries or containers of blueberries or buy one, get one free. Safeway, come in and explore and see what other deals you can find.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.